What a lovely time this morning. Would you turn to Psalm 145? And I'd just like to pray again as we approach His Word. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that You would just bless this time. Bless Your Word as it go forth out, Lord, that it would change and refine us, Lord, that You would be glorified and exalted. Holy Spirit, speak through me, Lord, that this would be all You and no man. Let the word fall upon fertile soil, that it would take deep root. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't have a super long message today, although we'll see as the Lord directs. Let's just read Psalm 145. This is just a continuation of worshiping Him in spirit and truth last week. And so it says, in verse 1, I will extol You, my God, O King, and I will bless Your name forever and ever. For every day I will bless You, and I will praise Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Your works to another, and shall declare Your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of Your majesty, and on Your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of Your awesome acts, and I will declare Your greatness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Your works shall praise You, O Lord, and Your saints shall bless You. They shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom and talk to Your power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to You and to give them their food in due season. You open Your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Wow. This psalm actually, many believe this is the last Davidic psalm, like the last one that cites it's a psalm of David. We don't know who wrote some of the other psalms because it does not say it's from David, but I guess most of this message, there's going to be a lot of scripture used because the scripture is going to expound the scripture, not man. So I have a little bit of talk just beforehand, do you find your pursuit or your passion for Christ to wane from time to time or as time goes on? And I think we all can answer yes. There's times when we feel very dull spiritually. And I can tell you that you're not alone. There are times when we get super relaxed or mundane in our worship, and we talked about that specifically, about worshiping out of obligation or ritual last week versus worshiping our Lord and Savior in spirit and in truth. And I can only tell you that Satan loves it when you are not focused on the Lord, when you're not focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He wants us to be focused on things of the world and things of self to capture our attention. Because when our focus is off of the Lord, we're not working for His kingdom. We're working for our own little kingdoms. Does that make sense? And so this psalm, as I was thinking about that, it's being shared with you to reinforce your steadfastness. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 13 says, And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no one deceives you. I have something that I stumbled upon last night. And I just take heed that no one deceives you. And I didn't even have this in my notes, but let me pull it up if I can read it. Nashville-based Lifeway Research did a poll of a telephone survey of 1,000 Protestant senior pastors, to which only a third of America's Protestant pastors expect Christians to be raptured or taken up to the sky to meet Jesus. And about half think a false Messiah, known as Antichrist, will appear sometime in the future. But a surprising number think that the Antichrist has already been here and isn't on his way at all. And I think that's so important to know that what Jesus is talking about deception, the deception, not only of Satan, but we talked about the sheep's, or the wolves in sheep's clothing, about what's being said. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. We hear that every day in the news. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences. We see that with the storms. Manhattan, my sister sent to me last night, was blacked out completely. They had a blackout. And I thought about it when I saw the picture. I thought about, like, in the book of Revelation when there was just darkness, you know? There's earthquakes in various places. You know about the earthquakes, that severe one that happened, a couple of them in California. And some of you have seen that John Haller report where he did that, the map of all the earthquakes that have fired off greater than 5.0 on the Richter scale in the world. It's a pretty interesting map, and you see how intense those earthquakes have been and more repetitious. And all these are the beginning of sorrows, for they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he or she who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel is to be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Are we there? Has the gospel been preached all across the world? I would say yes, it has. We're in that extended grace period right now. And since we know that the love of many will wax cold, we need to look to counter that trend. As Christians, as believers in Christ, we need to be reminded that our eyes have been opened. They've been opened. The scales have been ripped from our eyes. John 8, verse 12 says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Are you exemplifying that light of life that's been given to you? You've been pardoned from an eternal death penalty. Is the light of life shining in you in this dark world? The other night, Katie and I were talking, and that's how I knew exactly where the Lord wanted this message, because we were talking about the Lord, weren't we? After work, we're talking about the Lord, and what happens is as we continue to seek the Lord, he's at the forefront of our heart and mind. And as we grow in godliness, we start to talk about the Lord more and more and more. And that which is inside you eventually starts to come out. And just as we spoke last week with the Lord, he said, what's inside the heart that defiles a man? And it also is what is in our heart from the Lord that builds you and I up. I remember my father always, when we got together as a family, he would direct the conversation back to the Lord, right? Do you remember that? I remember, you know, even, you know, when I was dating my wife, we would be sitting around and we would be talking, the four of us, right? You know, and my dad would start answering questions about, you know, the Bible and things, because, you know, my wife at the time had just come to the Lord. She was new. She was a baby in the Lord. She didn't know anything. He was tending to his household, looking to build up those in the Lord, his family, his flock. See, iron sharpens iron, folks. And 2 Peter 3:18, Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as you seek him and his kingdom, your desires start to align with the Lord's kingdom. It starts to come out of you. There's this new desire inside you, and so you start to talk more and more about it. And I can tell you, the more you study and the more you start to have conversations about our Lord and his righteousness, what happens is you start to cast seed upon other people who are hearing and listening. They start to notice there's something different about you. It's like, why does this person keep going back, talking about the Lord? And that Psalm of David talks about this. This Psalm of David talks about the greatness and the grace and the goodness of our God. We had a visitor a few months ago who described our church as zealous for Jesus. And I actually titled this sermon, Zealots for Christ. Why not? Why not be zealous for our Lord and Savior? Why not? There are plenty of zealots for politics today. There's plenty of zealots for sports. There's plenty of zealots for music and concerts. If we've received his grace and experienced the love of God that has changed our life forever, shouldn't we want to share that and talk about that with others? So as we read through this psalm and we confirm and expound on that scripture, I want you to think and ponder on God's incredible greatness. Next time you start to feel a little dull, turn to Psalm 145 and just read it. Let the words pop off the page. You know what I'm talking about? When you're reading sometimes and all of a sudden just something just tugs at you. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's leading you in truth. And there's just like, all of a sudden it's like, I never saw that before. You know, those little nuggets of truth, just boom, they just jump off the page and they captivate you, just like you are captivated by our Lord when you bent your knee to him. And so Psalm 145 in verses 1 and 2 says, I will extol you or exalt you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. And every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Listen, David is a king, yet he is humble and he realizes that he's a little king with a little K. He recognizes the King of Kings with a capital K, and he exalts God and he looks to bless his name forever and ever. He's so zealous for God that he repeats himself over and over again in this psalm. You know, when you're excited, you continue to repeat yourself. Oh, can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. Great is the Lord, verse 3, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You can search high and low for all the things of this world, and they don't hold a candle to our God. We cannot even fathom our God who was and who is and is to come. The Alpha and the Omega. Before the beginning, he was. Ponder that one. Can you explain that one? I can't explain that. I can't even, my mind can't comprehend that before, because I'm a human there's a beginning to my life and there's going to be an end to my life. And that's the way I think. But before there was, God was. Before the beginning of time, God was. My mind cannot comprehend that. Romans 11, just think about how unsearchable. So Romans 11, verses 33 through 36 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He's so deep. And the word itself is deep. There's a height, a breadth, a depth, a length to the word of God. It says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our God is deep. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I think about when I read this part, I thought about Joshua, and he was making that stand. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. Listen, you pass through the rivers of life. You've been washed anew. Don't go back to the mud. Don't go back to the gods of Egypt. Don't go back to the world. With the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as a result, because you made a choice to serve the Lord, Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. This morning, as you all know, I've had back pain for quite some time now. And I was doing a stretch, and my daughter said, Daddy, is your back hurt? And I said, yeah, it really hurts. And I, right in the middle of stretching, all of a sudden she comes over, and she puts her hand on my back, and she started to pray for me. Where did she learn that from? She learned it because of the example that's set with my family, my mind, Nanny, Aunt Kate. She sees us praying, and she sees us praying for one another. And so as a result, she learned to do that. She's 4 years old. I was touched by that. I was amazed. And she was actually saying, Jesus, touch Daddy's back. Make him not feel any pain anymore. That was her words. Amen. Are you kidding me? Like, that's just awesome. It was so special. I'm just sitting there, and I'm just, you know, just walk right over. Daddy, is your back hurt? Yeah. And just start, she didn't say, can I pray for you? She just started to pray for me. You see, we need to share our praise in the Lord with others. Don't hide your light under that bushel. When it starts to happen, that seed that you're sharing, because you're talking about the Lord and what he's done, not only for you, but you can reference all the other acts. That seed starts to take hold, and there's fruit that comes out of that. I remember, I heard, is it Kathy Lee Gifford? She's the one, she's Christian. She said, if I knew the cure to cancer, would I not share it with everyone? Like, she was talking about sharing the Lord. And I was like, wow. I just thought about that quote. I'm like, yeah, why not? I mean, if he's done so much for you, he's cured you of the penalty of death. It says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. For men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The splendor of our God. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Isaiah was gifted. So was Ezekiel. They had the old prophets. They got this vision. And he was high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. How the splendor of our God. And above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. And with two he covered his face. And with two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Sorry, I thought we had a power outage there. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Just look outside. the glory of our God. The man, he spoke that into existence, folks. And the posts of the door were shaken by his voice, the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. The splendor of our God. Psalm 93, verses 1 through 2. For the Lord reigns, and he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, and he has girded himself with strength. Strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Talking about our Savior. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. In the New American Standard Bible version, and he, because I like the way it reads, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made the purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion. It's the power of the Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. What a powerful scripture of our God. Hallelujah. Awesome acts. Do you declare his awesome acts, what he's done in your life? And this does not encompass everything, but how about some I referenced yesterday? He made a donkey talk. Do you remember the story of Balaam and the donkey? The walls of Jericho came crashing down as they walked around seven times, and they shouted, "Victory to the Lord, O God!" And the walls came crashing down. Do you remember yielding your life to Christ and the walls came crashing down that prevented you from seeing him? How about Joshua? He was able to pray to the Lord God to stop the sun and the moon. That's in Joshua chapter 10. The 10 plagues of Egypt. The power of God. Pharaoh had his magicians that tried to manipulate, but God trumped every single time. Jesus walking on water. What a sight that had to have been. How about crossing the Red Sea? Split. And then you make it to the other side and the enemy is crushed under the weight of the water. He's fed the 5,000. And that was just 5,000 men. That doesn't include the women and children. With what? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How awesome is our God. He turned 12 ordinary men, mostly fishers, to spread the gospel. And since then, the gospel has not stopped to be proclaimed. Every time the enemy tries to stop, it keeps going. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, a foreshadow of what he was going to do in his own life. It's giving me goosebumps just talking about these things. How about let there be light? 6 days he created the world, and on the seventh he rested. Don't let someone tell you your God is not great. And most of all, his resurrection. As he spoke, 100 billion failures disappeared. Tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. Hallelujah, hallelujah, worthy is our Lord. The Lord is gracious, verse 8, and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Tender mercies. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. They won't perish. I read this yesterday, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His mercy is new and fresh every day. And it's available to those who want to take it. It's a gift. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But God, there it is again. But God, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In parentheses, it says, for by grace you have been saved. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We've already received it, but you can't even comprehend what is to come, folks. Like you said during communion, you can't even wrap your head around it. You can only equate to it on the basis of a vacation, and Titus 3, 5, hold on. Is this speaking to your spirit?
Amen.
Titus 3, 5 through 7, not by works of righteousness which we have done. What are our, those are filthy rags. You heard that yesterday at the marriage supper. The man who showed up at the marriage feast in his own rags, in his own clothes, he was not dressed appropriately, and the bridegroom had his servants take him out and throw him away where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth, is actually what the scripture says. Your righteousness is nothing. My righteousness is nothing. My ways are nothing. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Say, I am an heir.
I'm an heir.
Hallelujah. And as a result, while you're here today, while you're still living this life here on earth, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can obtain mercy and find grace in the help in time of need. That's our God. Verse 10, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. There it is again. You're proclaiming. And the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Stephen, before he died, was so blessed with the ability to see the glory of our Lord and Savior. Acts 7:55 through 56. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. There, the Holy Spirit's inside him, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, and he gets a glimpse of the glory of God, and there is a peace that is over him. There's no struggle there. He knew his time would come, and it's no different than when my father was in the hospital and he saw the Lion of Judah and the peace that ushered over him. He knew his race was already done. He knew where he was going. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness. That same spirit is inside of you, folks. And it gives you a peace that passes all understanding. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Let him take control. Ephesians 1, 17 through 22, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the ones to come. Hallelujah. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He is all encompassing. Man, this is powerful. This is a powerful psalm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord upholds, verse 14, upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. In the New Living Translation, it says he lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look expectantly to you and give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Matthew 23, verse 12, Jesus said, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You humble yourself in brokenness. That's where you came to the cross. That's how you were able. It's pride that will keep people from accepting the gift of Christ and his salvation. It's pride. You have to humble yourself and be broken to let his grace, to accept it as the gift. And I love how it's, yeah, New Living says, he lifts those bent beneath their loads. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, casting your loads upon him. Do you know how heavy our cares are when we let them? The anxiousness, the fear, that it's tormenting. It's heavy. It's heavy. And Jesus' yoke is light. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. He, the creator of the heavens and the earth, cares for you. He knows your needs. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. And prior to that, God knows the needs of the sparrows and the lilies of the field. So he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because if you seek after the kingdom, you're not, your desires are kingdom. They're heavenly. They're of eternal significance. They're not things that, like, moth and rust corrupt and are going to burn in fire. You seek him first in his kingdom. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in what? In truth. What did we talk about last week? Worshiping in spirit and in truth. Psalm 86, verse 5, for you, Lord, are good, and you're ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Romans 10, 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will fulfill, verse 19, the desires of those who fear him. Jesus told the woman at the well, I give you water, you'll never thirst again. When you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with your whole heart, he becomes your master. He becomes your Lord. He will also hear their cry and save them. It's his saving grace that saved you and I. He saved me. Just like we sang, you saved me. You rescued me from the fires of hell. The Lord preserves all who love him. You entered into that ark and you're going to go to the other side. He's going to call his bride before the wrath pours out. And all the wicked All the wicked, those who don't want to bend their knee, he will destroy. 1 Peter 1:3-5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You have a reservation, folks. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You learned that yesterday. The Jewish custom. They enter in the contract, and then the bridegroom goes and prepares the house and then shows up unexpectedly to take his bride away. And so you shall be forevermore. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's the preservation that the psalmist is talking about. He preserves. The Lord preserves all who love him. If you're loving him, you're seeking him. If you love him, what happens? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Do you see how there's a cause and effect there? That's how you preserve. Because you continue, you're continuing loving in him, loving on him and obeying him. Revelation 25:5-7, you heard this yesterday. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't hear this one yesterday. And he said to me, write these words are true and faithful. And he said to him, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely, freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. You folks, every knee will bow. You bend your knee now, you have an inheritance. Otherwise, your inheritance, if you have not bent your knee, is all that you accumulate here on this earth that you cannot take with you. And you heard this one yesterday, now it is. Revelation 19:6-9. This whole psalm is about praise. You're talking about being a zealot for Christ. And look what's going to happen when we come together for the marriage supper. And I heard, as it were, in verses 6-9 of chapter 19, the voice of a great multitude. That's all those who are today and who are before that put their faith and trust, who are justified by faith. As the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Were you singing that today? I give you glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. He's taken us away. And his wife has made herself ready. Are you ready, folks? Are you ready? Are you making yourself ready? Do you have the anticipation? I know that when that marriage contract was signed and when the bridegroom left away, the bride is anticipating the return, looking off to the horizon, just waiting. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Why? Because we're covered in his righteousness. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He called your name. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Praise his name. Praise his name in the morning. Praise his name in the noontime. Praise his name at the nighttime. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's worthy to be praised, folks. He gave his all, so make sure you give him your all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of your word and the glory of the revelation in your scriptures, that it brings about change and that we can keep our mind stayed on you. Thank you for this time together this morning that we were able to worship you and praise you for what you've done in our life. Be with us as we go our separate ways, that we could find another who does not know about you. You would give us the opportunity to be salt and light in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.